This is in our Frontline Worship Center in Brazil. So here's Pastor Murray Pat, obviously spending some time in the presence of the Lord with the young people from the City of God favela, which is another word for slum. And for those of you that have been to Brazil, São Paulo is an incredibly large city. And where the favelas are is that essentially, imagine in the space of this room here, you'd probably have about 30 homes of just like small rooms stacked on top of each other with steps and everything else. It's really, really a lot of fun. So there's Pastor Ray Pat. And there, Joe, if you can go back a quick second. Joe is in there with the guitar. It's Joe Kabeji. She has been with us in Mozambique twice. And I believe that she'll be coming back with us again this summer, which is amazing. So the next. And Amanda, too. Which I'm not sure. So look at that sign out front with the new logo and everything. That's awesome. Worship in the presence of the Lord. And so Pastor Murray Pat took a bunch of the young people out to eat, which I'm sure they enjoyed. I was trying to look closer to see what Pastor Murray Pat was eating, but I couldn't see clearly there. But, you know. Oh, and there they are again in the room. And for those of you that don't know, and the woman there wearing the vest, her name is Inez Munez, and she is the head of Frontline Brazil. She has a real heart to reach out to the young people in the City of God favela, and so she spends her time doing there and also all other kinds of sweet entrepreneurial things. And then we have, this is a video. Just listen.
Hi, yep. We're in City of God, and this is Nana. And Nana had a stroke 4 years ago, and she had a paralyzed side, and her right arm is remaining paralyzed. So we prayed, and then we're going to show you what Jesus has done. So Nana, can you lift your arm up, and as you can help us.
And você pode levantar o seu braço na que você fez agora. Onde você consegue aqui atrás, tenta tocar o seu cabelo e o seu rabinho de cavalo. Você consegue tocar? Mais um pouquinho, vamos lá. É, mas tá indo, tá pesado, mas
it's amazing what Jesus just did instantly.
Agora estira ele assim pra frente. O braço,
estende
assim,
o braço. Assim.
Estende o braço.
Extend your hand out like this.
E a mão também. Abre os dedos.
Move your arm up.
É, movimenta o braço pra cima e pra baixo, Nana.
This is all new.
Okay.
Praise God. Can you go any higher?
Você consegue subir mais ainda o braço? Mais.
Good from being paralyzed. Amen.
Okay. Obrigada.
Yeah, so for those of you that couldn't kind of hear, it's a little bit hard with the Portuguese. That woman had a stroke, and she wasn't able to move her left arm that high, and so as Pastor Murray Pat was praying, that was the first time that she was able to lift it up to that height, and then after a little bit more, a little bit higher, which was just a really awesome testimony of what the Lord's doing there. And then we have one more video, which I think
revival looks like something. O avivamento parece como uma coisa. Revival looks like a relationship. O avivamento é como relacionamento. A relationship that sustains. A relationship that stays. Relacionamento que continua, que tem continuidade, que permanece. When you are crazy in love with Jesus. Quando você é maluco, está maluco e apaixonado por Jesus. People will want what you carry. As pessoas vão olhar para você, para aquilo que você carrega. They will say you are crazy. Ele vai falar, eles vão falar, você é louco. That's okay, that's great. E aí você vai falar, não tem importância. Esse é muito look bom. At our Jesus, look at our Jesus. Porque olha, but just begin where you are.
Mas Deus fala, comece aonde você está.
Go deeper where you are.
Vai mais para fundo aonde você
because
está.
Because where you are is where I have you.
Mas onde você está é onde eu quero você.
But I also have more for you. Mas if I have, I want more.
E se eu tivesse que você não tem
que if that's really you,
se é você,
come and run up here.
Vem aqui, vem para cá.
Levanta sua mão. Calma, ela.
And so while all of that awesomeness was going on, there were a couple visions that people had that I just kind of want to read with you really quickly here. So while that ministry time was going on, there was an individual who was in the church, and the Lord opened up his eyes, and he had this picture. And he said, I saw two angels on the side, either side of the church. And while Pastor Maurice Pratt was praying, those angels fired arrows into the sky. And when the arrows hit the sky tore, and angels were released onto us. I could also see an angel next to Pastor Mary Pat when she was lying on the floor, who was used to put on an embroidered mantle with the flags of many countries. And then he dug a stake in the ground, and it was the many places that God will send Pastor Mary Pat. When Pastor Mary Pat was praying over the people, like you saw in the video, I saw an angel with a defibrillator in his hand, and he was applying it to people's chest. And as he did, the people had their spirits renewed to fall in love with Jesus in a deeper way. That's awesome. And there was another individual that was there. He said he had a vision of Pastor Mary Pat while she was praying for the people and walking around them on the stage. They saw a pillar of fire behind and around her, and the flame was surrounding her feet as she moved around, and there was a very strong smell of anointing oil. And so it was just really sweet to see as the Lord's presence was released that these things were taking place. And there were also some healings that took place when this happened. And one of them was is that there was a man, it was a woman, she had a growth, a cancerous growth, and in the presence, while all of this fire and anointing was going on, it completely, like, left and disappeared. It was crazy. Couldn't even find it. And there was another individual who was healed of kidney stones while the presence of the Lord was being released. So we know that the Lord is doing amazing things in Brazil, and we're excited for this report. And I don't know when she's coming back, but we know that the fire's still going, and it's going to be continued. So, Lord, we just lift up Father Pastor Mary Pat, Lord. As she there, Father, as she's in Brazil, we thank you, Lord, for the fire of heaven, Lord, released over her and through her, Lord, as she continues to go and release even your presence this morning. And, Father, this evening, Lord, in Brazil, we thank you, Lord, for heaven invading earth. And that Brazil, Father, will never be the same because of you being released, Father, through Pastor Mary Pat and her passion and her love for you. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for safety and protection over her. And, Lord, we just bless her. In the name of Jesus, amen. And come Tuesday to Fire and Wind, because I'm sure we will have more updates as far as what the
Yes, the children can go to Kingdom Land. I'm surprised we didn't have any of them go in the box. See? I knew it. You don't need to get them toys, just get them a big box. Last week was Sanctity of Life Sunday. They started designating that back in the 70s sometime. I'm not sure how soon they started after Roe versus Wade in 1973. But actually the date of that decision was January 22nd, which is today. And so I wrote this song a number of years ago, and I know I'm pretty much preaching to the choir that life is sacred. Inside the womb, it's God's Eden. And yet, living human beings, babies, are being disposed of. It's his fruit, and we just throw it away as a society. 55 million people. Think of all those people in the United States, how they could have added to our society, how they could have added to families, and the pain of mothers that realize afterwards sometimes years afterwards. Many of them, when they're young, it's a choice that they feel they have to make. But as they grow older, they realize, oh, I'm not the one that takes care of the baby. Jesus takes care of me. When we're young, we think we take care of ourselves. After we leave our parents' home, oh, I'm going to finally be out on my own and take care of myself. But at my age, I know only Jesus can take care of me. I can never be adult enough, mature enough to take care of myself. I stay a child all my life in God's world, and I need Him to take care of me. And you realize that later in life. So these decisions early on that can affect your life forever are tragic indeed. And if we can have any influence on any individual person, it's an influence on eternity as much as someone coming to know the Lord. Because if they were to live, they might indeed come into His presence and be used by Him to help us win the world. So I think this song was actually written in the 70s. It's gone through a few revisions because I was young and I spoke very bluntly. I was upset about it and didn't know what to do at all to help anyone. Now I know what to do. If I see someone, if I hear of someone that's even contemplating this kind of a decision, I know what to say to them. This is not your child as much as you think. It's God's. It's God's child. It's God's fruit. It's God's Eden. In the silence of the womb grows a beautiful little boy, growing well upon his own, the gift he'll bring is the gift of joy. But his mother doesn't really know, for she has made a desperate choice. His precious life is silent deep within, without a vote from his unheard voice. How can you demand it? How can you shout it, that abortion is right? You cry for freedom, you scream equality, while you snuff out little lies. Have you viewed his anguished scream, attacked inside, where he moves about? It's become a deadly dream, a nightmare scene, without a doubt. But some with power say that it's okay, because a woman has her right. So his silent voice is never heard. He must give in,
without a fight. How can you demand it? How can you shout it? That abortion is right. You cry for freedom, you scream equality, while you snuff out little lives. God's handiwork, God's design, His creation formed within. To deny this child the right to live, to erase his name, is such a sin. For his mother is a vessel prepared for birth back in Eden. Why believe a lie, steal fruit again from God's own tree in His new garden? How can you demand it? How can you shout it? That abortion is right. You cry for freedom, you scream equality, while you snuff out little lies. In the cradle of the womb grows a beautiful little boy.
By the way, it could be a girl too. But boy rhymes with joy. Just saying. Already think I'm loud enough. That's true. And not so bad after what was spoken out last week. We do have that recorded, don't we? Yes, we have that recorded. Oh, good. Sometimes I hate this place. I'm not going to say that on the mic. Well, we have a quote that we want to start out with today after we pray. Father, we thank you. We need to come into your presence. We need to have our thoughts presented to your presence. Your presence is the grid that purifies everything in us, Lord. We need to be close to you. When we go wandering out in the field without the shepherd, it's not pretty. God, we come before you today. We say, purify our thoughts, purify our minds, work in our hearts, help us see what life is all about. Jesus, go deep inside today. We give you permission and we invite you. We give you an invitation. Come in, God. Speak deep.
Get past the walls. Jump over the moats. Tear down the big doors, Lord. We invite you to do that. We may not even see that we're putting up these roadblocks to you, God. We give you permission to tear them down. Jesus, come right in to the inner sanctum of our heart. Change everything. Change everything. Rearrange and change everything in our hearts, God. We need it. I need it, God. Come today. You're welcome, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you get nothing else today, a cave is concealing, but the light, not just any light, not this light even, is revealing. We need to have things revealed in our hearts today. Some of us may not know that we're hiding, keeping secrets. The secrets need to be laid out there for God to help us see they're not helping us. I may be reading a little bit more today so that it makes sense if I start off on what I usually do. I may not end up where I want to end up for each of us today. So, you've been in a cave. It is dark. This is a word I had a few years ago. Maybe not quite as fleshed out as it is here. You've been in a cave. It is dark. The only light you have is temporary and produced by burning dead things. Wood, grass, leaves. This is supposed to help you, you know, visualize a cave. Okay, it's not a box, it's a cave. The kids, man, as soon as I brought this in here. You don't need toys. All you need is a big box. I'll tell Pastor Mary Pat that when she buys things for the grandchildren. Okay, as you speak, the echo you hear off the walls, you believe is the Lord speaking to you, but actually, it's your own voice. The more you are, it is an echo off the walls of the cave, after all. The more you hear that voice, the more you are isolated, confused, hurt, upset, angry. It seems impossible to move past these powerful, emotionally charged reactions. Negativity grows. You find that the voice that you hear is characterized by more complaining, criticizing, blaming, slander, judgment, pride, boastful talk. It is a place of the untamed tongue. But you are more and more convinced that what you're hearing is absolute, irrefutable truth. It's truth. You feel suppressed, controlled, manipulated, used, trapped. But you are alone in the cave. No one's acting against you, despite your increasing paranoia. The message at times today with this kind of word might seem kind of dark. That's what they said about the inauguration speech. But I guarantee you there's a good ending. So when you hear about the cave, my further descriptions about the cave, don't stay dark. We're trying to come out of that into the light. I actually gave a similar word like this to several people in a certain season. And they completely disregarded it. Now, that happens all the time. You know, when I first became a Christian, I wanted to learn everything I could about Jesus. I was in a cave before I came to Jesus. Literally, my dad finished off the attic of our house He had two boys at that point. My sister was 9 years older, so she had moved out and married and so on, and he had two boys. And he thought to himself, I can have them on this floor, or I can put them on that floor. And I don't know if you remember those stairways that they used to, you know, he went and bought one. I don't know where he found it in northern Michigan, because that was pretty progressive, having a stairway that you could put in the ceiling and it would fold down and you could walk up into the attic. He thought that was the coolest thing because he could fold it up and it had a cord on it and he could close it up while we were up there and doing whatever we were doing. Whatever noise we wanted to make, at least it was a floor away. Until they got the bright idea to buy my brother a drum set. And we put that on that floor, and you could hear that everywhere. So I don't know, he made one mistake. He bought a drum set. But basically, he had us up there. And I loved it up there. Dark, rainy days were my favorite because you could hear it on the roof. Cloudy days were my favorite, and there were a lot in northern Michigan. Snowy days, lots of them. Very little sun, I loved it. I think moss could have grown in that room because it was dark most of the time. I like to keep the shades closed. I like it as dark in there as possible. I would write deep, dark poetry. Start singing deep, deep songs. The Beatles were in, so, you know, they were rhyming words together. And people said, ooh, that's deep. The Walrus. Wow, I wonder what it all means. As the Beatles laughed and took their money to the bank. They knew they were on drugs when they wrote those words, and all they were happy that they could rhyme when they were on drugs. And everybody bought it like it was deep poetry. Well, that was what I was doing. I was thinking it was so deep, what I was writing, and I was going to become famous from the attic, somehow. Well, I don't know about that, but. So Jesus saved me out of that. Eventually, I grew the hair down. Yes, I did have hair, and I grew it down. And it formed the curtain, as I've said many times here. It was a curtain, and it kept people out. So I carried my cave with me. It was down almost to my shoulders, and there was a little split in the middle. Some of the nice people called me Prince Valiant. My father called me a horse's patootie. I carried my cave with me, and I lived in a cave in the attic. My experience was the cave, and I stayed away from a lot of people, isolated myself, thought that was good, a loner. Yeah. You know, you can feel pretty deep as a loner, because you never have to ask anybody else what they think about your writings or your songs or anything else, and you're, yeah, I know I'm deep. They'll discover I'm deep if I ever come out of the caves. In college, my dorm had a talent show. I signed up. I was talented. I was. But I heard it start. From my room, I could hear it start down the cafeteria. And I couldn't bring myself to go down and face a group of people. I'd sung in other places, but these people I lived with, they were in my dorm. They could come by and tell me what they thought of how I sang a song or whether I had any talent. I didn't want to face that jury. I didn't want to face those people that I would actually live with, and they would tell me what they thought about what I'd written or sung. So I didn't go down. They didn't miss me either. They didn't come up to find me. So I know what the cave is like. But 35 years ago this year, I came out of the cave. And now, I'm extremely comfortable under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak in India, to speak in China, to speak around the world. Small, one person, or large crowds. And every time I step out, I say, Jesus, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to say. Come on, help me, Jesus. And you know what? What comes out, I can tell is life, because it's lifting me up and challenging me while it's coming out of my mouth. Now, most of you here are used to hearing my voice. Most here have heard me speak many times. And you know, familiarity breeds contempt. Not in the sense that, you know, you're contemptible. You know, I'm contemptible, and you're saying, you know, I don't want to ever hear him. You're here. Okay. But you can kind of forget that life comes out of my mouth. Life comes out of your mouth. It can. If you are dependent on the Holy Spirit, life can come out of your mouth and change other people. But it'll never happen when you're in the cave. Some of you this morning are in the cave. You don't realize it? I hope that in my description of the cave, you'll recognize yourself and come out. Because there is no forgiveness inside the cave. There is no good thing from God inside the cave. It's only out in the light. That's where you're able to operate in the freedom of what God has for us. So as I describe the cave, remember, I'm saying it kind of, boom, the worst that it could be as I describe it. So don't think that I don't know that there are ups and downs and all that type of thing. But let's just do it straight. If you're a couple in a cave, because you've agreed together. Let me get back to where I was here. If you're a couple in the same cave, you're in the same cave together, you've agreed to be in there together. Negativity, pride, and paranoia is multiplied. If you're married, spouses, the oneness of your union as man and wife magnifies the effect of your agreement for better or worse. In this case, not for the better, if you're both in the cave. One voice echoing off the walls now become a destructive duet of two. Complaining and criticizing can now be shared as gossip back and forth between the two. Secrets can now be shared selectively between the two tasty morsels that become like succulent steaks stacked up in a closet, but without noticing the smell, the stench, as time passes. Now there is an agreement and perceived strength in numbers, two. And where two or three are gathered, normally, that's a powerful proposition. In this case, Jesus is not invited into the fellowship of the couple in the cave. He is not welcome in their midst. So it is a destructive duo. But often, they're feeling very powerful, confident in confidence shared by the couple together. Caves are dark. Moles and moss grow there. Sometimes toxic streams with tainted waters are found flowing through the caves. In the Old Testament, a cave is where people often hid themselves. When you were being chased or fearful, you could hide yourself, protect yourself in a cave. David and Elijah hid themselves in caves. Saul went into a cave and privately took care of some personal business. Prophets by groups of 50 were hidden in caves from Jezebel. If the cave was empty, it provided temporary shelter and protection from adverse weather or adversaries. If the cave was empty, that is. It provides only one front in a personal war because your back was, in theory, guarded by the interior of the cave. Caves are often places of despair and deception. A person may have been called by the Lord to do something, but instead he is distressed and despairing in a cave. You can become lost in the labyrinth of the caverns of the cave. In fact, Elijah was asked by the Lord why he was in a cave. He had a mission, but he was languishing in the substitute protection that the cave offered. It is also a place where people bury their dead. For instance, Jesus was buried in a cave, and a stone was rolled to seal it. Many people were buried in caves upon their death in the Old Testament. Elijah had some false prophets hung, and their dead bodies were placed in a cave and sealed up with a large stone. There are some statements that you hear in a cave. Here are some of them. I want to make my own mistakes. Making destiny-affecting decisions completely on our own is stupid, according to Proverbs. Counsel and correction, in Proverbs 12:1, it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't say it. Yesterday, John Bevere said it on a video that the Men Who Honor watched. But he said he didn't say it. God said it in Proverbs. I just want to be real. I don't know how many times I've heard that in this season. So many times on Facebook. Just being real. It is not in being real that brings success. It's in being led. I don't want you to be real. Because the stuff that you say is putrid when you're real. Put it through the grit of the Holy Spirit. Come under the self-control of the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Then speak to me. And I'll do the same for you. At least most of the time I'll try to do that. Every message you give at Frontline is about negative agreement. That's actually been told to me. And I said to the person, every message? And they said, yes. Every message? I repeated, yes. That's a person that's been in a cave. They're under conviction, big time. Oh, this one might hit more close to home, though. Why is every why is every message you give aimed at me? Why is every message about me? I've heard that one a whole lot more. And the person usually chases me down after church and runs up to me and said, why were you talking about me? And I have to admit, I was talking about you. But everybody else too. And myself. We're all in your boat. And we need to change. So-and-so is so controlling. I could fill in the names. I've heard it. Sometimes directly. They are always forcing me to think and do what he or she wants. that's pretty hard to force you to do anything if you're in that kind of framework. Come on. If you're willing to say that, there's no forcing you to do anything. So-and-so thinks they are the only one that hears from God. So-and-so or they think he or she or they know everything. They think they know everything. They think they know everything. They're the only ones that hear from God. I've already prayed about it. You don't need to talk to me. I already prayed about it. Don't give me any counsel. I already prayed about it. Don't share any passage of Scripture. I've already prayed about it. Don't give from your 35 years of walking with God to me any of that stuff, because I already prayed. I prayed about it. What could you offer to me? I prayed about it. Better yet, this one sounds even more spiritual. I have a peace about it. 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 Sounds better when it's whispered. I have a peace about it. I'm being led to fill in the blank. I'm being led to do this. You know, there are a number of things you could be following. Who are you led by? Who led you to do this? Have you asked again, just in case you got mixed in there somewhere? Because leading is not a one-time thing where you hear it and you do it most of the time, unless it's right out of the Word of God. Hearing from God is a process. You're going to ask him again. Is that picture from you? I had a phrase come to me at the end of 2016. When we were considering whether to go to Brazil as a team this month, right about now. It was not working in Brazil, and it was not working here with forming the team at that time. Now, I have pressed through those kinds of things before, especially trips to Asia. And it has brought such fruit, you can't imagine, to press into it and say, oh, this is hard. Okay, we got to just hit the door again. And God, are you all about this? And it was pretty much like, go for it, go for it. And I would push the door, and the door would go open. And there would be amazing ministry for a trip in Asia. But this time, instead of hearing that I should push on the door, Pastor Mary Pat and I should push the door harder, I hear rest. Rest. Then I hear rest, rebuild, regroup, relaunch. Then I hear don't retreat, rest, rebuild, regroup, relaunch. And I'm like, okay. Is there a little bit more to go on here? I ask questions. God, is there, you know, can you fill this out for me? You know, gotta. Page two. I'm ready. Page two. And as I spoke with Pastor Mary Pat, told her that word, she was like, this is it. Well, this is what? Well, this is the answer. Answer to what? You know, Brazil, the whole thing. Okay. But to me, the words are out of order. Should be rest, regroup, rebuild, relaunch. The words are out of order. So I went to God, and I went to God, and I went to God. And I'm not going to take time this morning. Now I know why they're in the order they're in. Do you know what that feels like to know? To know what those words mean? To get those words in the first place? And some of you have had words of the Lord. You know there were words of the Lord. You checked them out, though. You asked questions. You pressed into it. And you're convinced and you're walking out those words from the Lord right now. Some of you, if you're in the cave, you aren't going to be able to get the right interpretation. You're going to hear your words bounce off the sides of the cave, and you're going to think they're God. Oh, that sounds good. I should go do this. Sounds good. It'll make me important in the body of Christ. Why should I be under somebody when I can be the leader? After all, I've been a Christian for 2 years. 2 whole years. And I got my life really straightened out in the last month. It's time to become a leader in the body of Christ. They should be listening to me. Now, I also know about Timothy, so, you know, don't despise. Don't let them despise your youth. So, I got this in balance. You're not going to be able to forgive in the cave. You're not going to be led in the cave. You have to come out into the light. You know what even this little cave has something unique about it? I don't know if you noticed, but back in the inner sanctums of the cave, it's dark. But right at the edge of the cave, where the light can shine, it goes into the cave just a little bit. And someone who really only wants to build their own little kingdom, wants to do their own little thing, wants to become famous in the body of Christ or important or be raised up. By the way, the rest of us are trying to go as low as we can go. Because we know what it is to rise up and think that you're something. And God goes, hey, that isn't your time and it isn't my way and all of that. We've heard that. So we're all trying to go low. If you're trying to go up and high and be noticed and probably in the cave somewhere. But this light goes into the edge of the cave. And the people in the cave, oh, that's too bright. Back up. They might even turn around so they don't have to look at that bright light coming into a dark place. An unbeliever goes way back in here somewhere, you know, runs around in the passages of the cave where it's really dark, and they love it. A believer might be at the edge of the cave, but sees the light, and, oh, it's just too bright. That Pastor Mary Pat, she's just too doggone intense. When she preaches at those churches, she's intense. People fall down in the presence of the Lord. And she comes home thinking, how did that happen using me? She looks extremely confident under the anointing. But when she's at home, she's feeling like humbled about the whole process, that God would use her. But she's intense. She'll tell you what the score is pretty quickly sometimes in conversation. Some people run around the edges of the church to avoid when they should be coming up to her and taking it between the eyes, because it will help your life. Read the book of Proverbs. And it's not about, well, do it my way or the highway. It's more about, let's find out what the Holy Spirit's saying and let's do that, whatever that is, whatever cost, whatever it takes to lay down our lives to do that. And if you don't know the difference, you'll end up complaining and blaming and criticizing inside the cave. If you don't know the difference, of what someone is trying to do for you. Any leader, not just the ones here. Now, if they're overlording and God shows you that, then you have a different program going, but you better check with somebody else to see if they're really overlording. And don't just check with your Facebook friends. They'll probably say, like. And what you want to hear are the faithful wounds of a friend. Those are the ones that help you. What you want to hear is iron sharpening iron. You want to see a few sparks fly. Hey, but I think that, yeah, well, it's just not God. But I think that it is. Well, it isn't. Well, that's a better conversation than like. At least there's some sharpening going on. There's some sparks flying to come to the truth. You know, the truth is not always evident. You have to fight to get there. You have to fight your way out of the cave sometimes on a daily basis. And when you do and you come into the light, he helps purify your heart, your motives, your words. You don't have the untamed tongue. You have the tamed tongue. He tames it. He's the only one that can. Think about some of the meals you've had after the church service where you were with ones that you trusted. What kind of conversation was there? About something that somebody shared up here or the worship or whatever. Caves are places of darkness, deception fueled by distress, despair, depression, destruction. They're places of death. Now you say, but I'm under distress. That's not my fault. Usually it is. What? Because there's an answer to distress. He's called the Prince of Peace. If you don't think he can have any effect on your personal, individual distress, you're wrong. I can give you testimony. I have distress, like anybody else. He heals me of it. He turns it around. He's bigger than my stupid little distress. Stress. Whatever you want to call it. He's bigger. He's greater, he's more powerful. Or otherwise, why are we meeting here this morning? Let's just go eat. It is lunchtime, isn't it? Let's just go eat. If he's not powerful enough to change your distress, your stress, your stuff, let's go eat. Feasting, not fasting. I declare. Okay, that's coming out into the light, yeah. It's what we like around here, a little transparency. Okay, let's go to the light. It peeks into the entrance of the cave. It's not an invader. It's an invitation. Because your eyes become adjusted to the darkness, the light seems like it's too intense. You may back away or worse, turn away. The light seems like it is far too bright to look at. Where a cave is concealing, light is revealing. All the dirt and stains that are easily not seen in the cave are evident in the light. Darkness is overcome by light. Like a cord in twisted knots, the strands of deception can only be unraveled in the light. Death is overcome by the light of life. By the way, this light is personalized. It's not some kind of, hey, take a few classes and learn a little bit more how to come into the light. It could help. The light is a person you need to be related to closely. He will show you any darkness in you and in me. He's faithful to do it. He will show us whether we're in the cave, whether we've been in the cave, whether we kind of are starting to like the cave. You know, you kind of get used to a bad environment. You can get used to a bad environment. And there's a better environment to go into. It might cost you more to come into the light. You might, oh, your eyes might be like, oh, at first. But Jesus can help you adjust to the light, and then you're more open to Him, more open to believers. That's what we need. The whisper of the Holy Spirit is chosen rather than the scream of inner needs. The Word, the Holy Spirit's true leading, encounters, revelations in the presence of God, godly counsel are considered bulbs that allow the light to shine brightly. Some of us think, well, I'll just read the Bible and I'll get what I get and then I'm going to go where I'm going to go. I'm going to do what I'm going to do because, you know, me and God and Jesus and me and all that. That'd be nice. And that's pretty much given out, at least in Western Christianity, but it was never God's plan. Just to, you know, hear from God and do your own deal and follow what you think God's saying to you. It was supposed to be checked out. Many times with Holy Spirit, many times with the Word of God, and with godly counsel. I didn't come up with that, God did. So you can be corrected, so you can be matured. You can't mature yourself entirely. Now the choices you make have a lot to do with that, but you cannot mature yourself entirely. You need the body of Christ to do that. Some of you have forgotten. You're on your own track. You're the Lone Ranger. And there ain't no Tonto. That's not good. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Maybe he told Tonto to do too many things. And he should have listened to Tonto once in a while. Not the movie version. Oh, boy. But, you know, our friends can wound us, and they're good friends. Don't say, I've got 569 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. You've got a bunch of names. That's what you have. You got a bunch of people that might comment on your stuff, but you don't have friends. Biblical friend is someone that will wound you for your best and love you while you're changing. A true friend will sharpen your iron. You need it. I need it. Being led by the Holy Spirit and being convinced about something are two different things. What is the source of your confidence? Something demanding a decision from within that satisfies that screaming voice, or the whispering and revelations of the Holy Spirit? And again, that Brazil process, we ended up deciding, let's take a look at March, and we did it in consultation with other people, not just Pastor Mary Pat and myself. We decided, let's shoot for March. The team has grown to 11 people. The timing for Brazil is amazing. And then Pastor Mary Pat and I hear that she should go to Brazil, like within 2 days. And she did. And it was amazing timing. And it's amazing ministry. And it's setting up for even March. Did God know what he was saying when he said to me, rest? Don't retreat, but rest. Rebuild, regroup, relaunch. Yes, of course he did. I am humbled every time this happens, and it works the way he wants it to work. And I think, I don't think I have the spiritual ears to hear you, Lord, but you get through anyway? How do you do that? How do you make this work? It's not a, oh, I heard from God and you can too. You know, I'm the big boss around here and I'll tell you how to hear from God. I don't have a clue. I just say, help us, help! And he comes up with a picture sometimes. Pastor Mary Pat, okay, this gets down to it. Pastor Mary Pat's laying in bed, of course talking. And it's time to go to sleep. Of course sharing, time to go to sleep. Processing, it's time to go to sleep. It's well past midnight, I won't even tell you what hour it is. We're done with every kind of help that we could give to anybody in ministry and prayer and everything else for the whole day, and she's got more she wants to talk about and share about. And then she'll say, you know, I've got this thing in my body that's not working properly. And my first thought is, well, why don't we sleep on it and see what God does? You know, he works throughout the night. He never stops working. So if that comes out of my mouth, it's met with silence. She's heard this one before. So then I, you know, most of the time now I nip it in the bud before it's able to exit my mouth. And I just feel like I'm so tired. I am so worn out. I just wish this thing would just heal itself in 2 seconds so I could go to sleep. And then she'll describe it, and she'll go through what it's like. And then I start asking her questions because I know she wants questions about it. And I start asking any old question about it that I could think of, hoping at the end I can say, and let's just rest on it. God and in his peace and his glory will. But as I start asking questions, the compassion of Jesus starts to flow in my veins. I didn't bring it on. I didn't even ask for it. I just want to go to sleep. Why doesn't the rest of Jesus flood in my veins? I don't know. But he starts energizing me, and I start asking questions and actually meaning it. I'm starting to care about this physical need that she might have. And then it happens. He gives me a picture. And I go, whoa, I know what this is. Another hour. Because I have to share that picture. And that's what she's been waiting for. In fact, sometimes she'll say after the question, or after I ask her a few questions, hoping she'll fall asleep, she'll say, did you see anything? Did you hear anything? And usually, I'm able to say honestly, no, not a thing. Nothing. God is not speaking to me, not showing me anything. But right after I start to speak that out, boom, there it comes. And it's something like, sometimes it's like a whirlwind, and it hits her body and over the spot, whatever it happens to be that time, and she's healed. It's never like, you know, some kind of a coffin, and she's in it, and, you know, it's going to end up that way. Never. Never. It's always a whirlwind and a swirling, and it's tearing stuff out that shouldn't be in there, and it's blowing stuff up and throwing it away and all this stuff. And I'm trying to go to sleep. Why does it have to be a whirlwind or a whirlpool or a tornado in the middle of the night? Do something in your still small voice, God. So then I have to share it. And I share it with her. And she starts crying, shaking, overcome by this vision. That's another hour. But by that time, I don't care. My wife is getting hit by the Holy Spirit right next to me. I'm being showed things I shouldn't even be, you know, have the credentials to even hear or see these things. I'm in, I finally end up in a state of humility. She ends up in a state of just crazy encounter with Jesus. I speak it out. She's shaking. She's crying. She's asking questions about it. I give her more information. I share it. I speak it out over her. Sometimes I'm over her going, and this, and this, and this, and where did all this come from? All this energy all of a sudden, all of this flowing through my veins. It's God taking over in weak me. Can't you see? That's the way it's supposed to be. You think we're supposed to go around going, yeah, I'm a prophet. Yeah, I'm an apostle. Yeah, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a... No, we're supposed to go around saying, I'm a kid. I don't know anything. I wouldn't know the first thing about where to start on any of these projects or these big things around the world. That's me. That's me. And God goes, good. I've got some powerful stuff for you. And so, either right then she's healed or within a short time, and if it doesn't happen in a short time, and it's an ongoing battle, we go after it with those visions and dreams, and we go after it, we go after it, we go after it. And I'm telling you, there hasn't been one thing that she's not been healed of, that she's spoken out. So when she's up here talking about this powerful Jesus, she has encountered him in a deep way in healing for her own body. In her weakness, she has encountered him. In my weakness, I've encountered him. That's the way it should be for each of us. Don't think you have to get to a certain place where you encounter him and you're in a cave in distress because I don't know what life is all about. And all. Get out of the cave. Come into the light. Admit to him you don't know what's going on. You don't know where to start. God, I've been through this over and over again. I have these feelings and they come and my mouth opens and I spew it out on people because I'm hurt inside. You're not helping me. Come out of the cave. Come into the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He means it. Jesus also shared how people run to the darkness. It's much more familiar. And they cozy up to the darkness. Christians do it. Unbelievers do it like it's natural. Christians do it even though it's unnatural. And then they speak it out to other Christians. They speak out darkness to other Christians. You should be speaking out light. When I'm that way, and I know it, I try to ask that person for forgiveness. Because it's just wrong to speak out darkness. We are sons of the light, the Bible says. The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from you, the Bible says. He's a sun. He's the light. He's a shield. Says in the Bible, he is in unapproachable light, yet he lets us come in. He lives in unapproachable light. You can't get near him. It's so bright. And the light is powerful. It's not like, you know, these lights. Oh, unapproachable light. Oh, yeah, right, okay. No, it's a substance light. You couldn't get within anywhere in near it. It's such powerful light. And yet he lets you come in as his sons and daughters. He lets me come in. Trying to lead this ship somewhere? You kidding me? You're using me? I never signed up for this, God. I signed up to be a Christian. I signed up to be a radical Christian after that. I signed up to, yeah, missions. I like missions. Oh, I signed up for worship. That took me a little while, but I signed up for worship, God. But to sign up to lead something? I still feel like I'm Gideon shaking in the knees. And he's saying, you are Joshua, taking territory. God, I'm Gideon shaking in the knees. I can't. You are Joshua, taking territory. You are Caleb. You are 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan charging up the hill against the odds. And you get to the top of the hill and the Lord has wiped out the enemy. What if you never charged up the hill? You wouldn't see it. We are calling you to the light more and more and more. If you haven't figured it out, that's what we're talking about. And sometimes we get some grief for it. We expect it. Because calling you into the light would seem like a simple thing as Christians. But it's one of the hardest things that we do. Because people get warm by themselves in the cave. They start their own light in the cave by starting a little fire in the cave. And they think that's the way life is. In lack. In disconnection with a mighty God. And they come up with their own dreams and try to make them God's dreams. Sometimes they step out into those dreams and it's a disaster and they don't even see it because they're deceived. You know, one of the only ways that you can get out of deception is to actually have other believers who aren't in deception speak truth into your life, speak light into your darkness. Don't you get that? I'm saying that rhetorically. Don't you see we need the Bible to shake us up out of deception? We get to thinking a certain way. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you whether this message has any anointing or not. I'll let you know whether it impacts my life or not, whether it turns me around in any way, whether it shakes my heart a little bit with the heebie-jeebies. I'll let you know. You are not my judge. God is. You are not Lawrence's judge from last week. So it's not about me. It's not, you know, you're not the judge of the worship team. No one is. God is. God will work with the people on the worship team trying to bring us all into the place of worshiping his name. You don't need to put on a badge and make it your own personal deal. Who's my favorite worship leader? I'm going to tell you right now. Anybody up there that's leading. I know what they have to go through. I know what they have to go through. So it doesn't. That's why we have a lot of worship leaders here. We don't have this thing where, well, only Pastor Bill, you know, he's the one who's the... He should be the only one leading worship. Everyone else is less than. 35 years. Know a thing or two about worship. Play chords you can't play. Singing ranges you've never even thought about. That's sickening to God. Raising up others to my place and beyond. You should go higher than me. And I'm laughing because I'm getting a picture where you're going to have to go. It's going to be really crazy. Whoa. And I'm going to get to go to heaven. And you're going to have to take the territory. Eventually, if Pastor Mary Pat ever lets me go to heaven. Yeah, I'm just going to speak it out here. We're going to be 120. It's like, what? Her father is 93. And he can't wait to go somewhere else. His aches and pains have aches and pains. He can't wait to go somewhere else. He says it this way. I go to bed, I pray every night, and I ask God, pull the string. Pull the string. Pull the string. We're like, well, Pops, we're just going to speak life into you. Pull the string. Then he gets healed of something or whatever, like his eyes have been, you know, bad lately, and so he goes into the doctor, and the doctor says, well, we'll put a shot in him. A shot? Yeah, we'll give you a shot. Well, will it improve it? No. It'll just maintain it. So then Pastor Mary Pat, you know, and I pray over his eyes and so on, and he gets a little bit of the juicy juice from Rachel and drinks some of that good stuff for his eyes. And I asked him yesterday, I said, so how's it going with the eyes? How'd your appointment go? They gave me a shot. I told him it's getting better. And he says, I want to know, is it the shot? Is it the juicy, juicy stuff, or is it the prayer? Hey, to the doctor. He asked the doctor. You can imagine what that answer was. Oh, Lord, what happened to this message? Jesus. So here it is. The summary of just light. Light is a place of covenant. It's a place of commitment. It's a place of counsel. It's a place of compassion. It's also a place of presence, a place of real passion. It's a place of perseverance. It's a place of proclamation. He wants us to be lights in the world, not just come into the light. We're supposed to become the light to the world, that we show Jesus to the world. So it can't be all about us in the cave, you know, going over stuff just about us. You'll come more into the light as you're sharing the light. You'll become more healed in the light as you proclaim the light of Jesus. As I've traveled in different places around the world, I might feel like sludge on a popsicle stick. You know, you've got jet lag, you've got, you know, all these things coming against you. It's 900 degrees, and it's time to preach. And you step out, and you're just feeling like, how are you ever going to use me today? And before long, He infuses you with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're preaching like you can't even believe it's coming out of you. That's what I want for each of you. If you don't have that experience, you can have that experience. It's not about us giving you the testimonies. It's about it becoming your testimony. These aren't things I'm just dreaming up. These aren't things I'm just making up. They're real. They can happen for you. You can go beyond the picture that you have of yourself. You can go beyond the picture that the church has for you across the body of Christ. We're not a bride that's without stain yet as a bride across the church. So you have to lead the way. Don't wait for somebody else to become the unstained bride. You become the unstained bride, and the rest will follow. Oh, but it couldn't come from a small little place like Frontline, a little small place like Bethlehem. Are you kidding me? We should be expecting it would be this place. We're small. We go after God's heart. We worship Him. We care about what happens in the nations. Not just trying to fill the pews here. Oh, we could fill the pews here. Telling you, if I would have quit an hour ago, if our worship would be five songs without all that extra stuff they do with it, you know, singing those, where'd those other verses come from? Cut those out. Let's pare it down. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Oh, we could have more people in the pews, you betcha. But we're not trying to get more people. We're trying to do what God wants. He'll fill in the place if He wants it filled in. He'll draw them. He knows how. He did to the Bible study back 20 years ago. I have no problem with that. So I'm not trying to fill the pews. I'm trying to build you up into what you should be, on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to build me up. Take that responsibility. Build me up. Someone came back and prayed for me back in the back row today before the message. God put it on their heart. They came back and prayed for me. That's why you guys are staying longer. Blame them. Blame that person if you can figure out who it is. Blame them. Nothing is hidden. Nothing can be kept secret. What if all the secrets in your life, in your heart, were proclaimed from the mountaintops like the Bible says they will be? Whoa. You better come out of the cave. You never know when he might start proclaiming it from the mountaintops. There have been people over the course of our time with this fellowship that, you know, said a few bad things about Frontline. Then they left Frontline. Then they said more bad things about Frontline. What's so funny to me is because of what God has taught me in my life, I forgive them right away. I don't wait for them to come. I forgive them right away, knowing they're in the cave. They're in a bad place. They need rescued. Why should I be mad at them? They need a rescue. So I forgive them, and I do it again, and I do it again. And if I have these feelings rise up, I do it again, and I do it again. I forgive. I ask God, help me to forgive them, and I forgive. But so often, you just wouldn't believe how many times it happens. We'll be in some odd place in Maslin Canton and bump into the person. They're the one that's uncomfortable. Why? I'm in the flow of forgiveness. They're the one that's uncomfortable and making sometimes excuses or trying to run away, or because I've already stepped into the light before they did. Be the first one in the light. Jump into the light first. It's a much better life. When you see people, you aren't going to feel awkward. You're going to feel like, I love them. I hope they get connected with God, whether they ever come back to Frontline or not. It's not about Frontline. It's about them and their connection with God. And they're in a cave from what I can see. And I want them out of that cave. Jesus, rescue them. Jesus, come in and touch their life. I don't want bad things to happen to them, although things bad can happen when you're out of alignment with God. This is about coming into the alignment of the light. Do it in 2017 more than ever. Well, I am. Yes, you are. But you can come into better alignment. So can I, and I'm going to. By God's grace. I can't make promises to God because I can't back them up. But I can make promises to him and say, with your grace, and I'm going to step into your grace. Then it happens. Same for you. Okay, got too much more to say, so I'm going to quit. I know what happens. Jesus, bring us all more into the light. You are the light. This isn't some theory. It's connection with you. We need that connection with you, Jesus, deeper this year than ever. The challenges are greater, Lord, than ever. We can be taken out so quickly, according to the Bible, the last days. People will call good evil and evil good. Boy, are we seeing it, God. These are the last days in our minds. If they're not, I don't know. I'm not going to look at a calendar. I'm going to go by what your word says. And it just, those things are happening. People's hearts are growing cold to you. To you, God. That's a tragedy. That should never happen for the sacrifice that you gave Jesus on the cross, giving his life. That we could live, that we could come into the light. God, it says if we follow the light, we'll be in better fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. Will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we need the light to come into fellowship with one another. We can't just say hi, bye, and all that and think we've been in fellowship. We have to sharpen one another. We have to help one another. We have to pray for one another. We have to take each other's burdens on ourselves, and allow you to use us to bless each other, serve each other. God, thank you that that's happening in many corners of Frontline and across the earth with our partners in Frontline. But God, increase it. Increase it in us. Lord, we want to be after your heart more than ever. We want to bring the secret things in
to the light so we can learn the secret things that are in the light from you. Our secret things are often need to be repented of. We need to repent in the light. But your secret things are sweet to us. We can't learn those unless we're in the light, Lord. Father, I call by the power of the Holy Spirit anyone that's in a cave, in the cave, in a cave too long, in a cave at all, to come out of the cave and come into the light. In Jesus, I want to be first in line. If there's anything, any darkness in me, God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, God. Let your light be a lamp unto my feet, God. Let your word be a light unto my feet, a lamp, God, a lamp. However that goes, all of that, I want it. Jesus, your word, your spirit, counsel. God, these are the sweet things. We need to honor them. Jesus, we love you. We want more of you because you're the light in us. No caves in 2017. Come into the light, church. Come into the light, individual. Come into the light, child. Don't try to fool anybody that you're powerful and mighty. Shake in the knees like Gideon. But step out into the power of the Holy Spirit like Caleb, like Joshua, like Jonathan. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bless each person. You know, that whole thing about, I spoke out about shaking in the knees like Gideon and stepping out in the power of the Holy Spirit like Joshua, Caleb, and Jonathan. I got that on the way to church this morning, and I promptly forgot it after I got here, got all the stuff in it. I could not remember it at all. So I'm asking God in the back, what was that? What was that? Nothing. I asked him up here just before I did the song. What was that? It was kind of cool. It was kind of impacting to me, God. What was it? What was it? Could not remember it at all. I started, when I spoke it out, I heard it 3 seconds before I spoke it out. He wanted me to speak it out then, so that it would impact me then, not when I was distracted with getting that ready and in the back, you know, with finishing things up to bring up here and arranging things and getting the box and the light and all that up here. He wanted to impact me as much as you. So he gave it to me when it was needed. Are you able to do that with God? Just wait on him, and when it's needed, he's going to come through with the answer, with the uplifting in your heart. He's faithful. He's all over it. I think we should have another message. Let's just.
There are, this isn't another message, even though I could give one. There's some photos fresh from ministry this morning at a church in Brazil called Zero Gravity. So if you want to scroll through those there. There's not really a description. I just know that some awesome stuff happened this morning, so it kind of gives a picture of what's going on. That's the top-down view. Obviously, people receiving from the Lord. Freezing. Somebody receiving this morning. More reception. That's a nice drum set. You don't have to go back for the drum set. I'm just... And this is a new gentleman whose name is Dennis, who's got the message of Jesus on his forehead. All right. Yes. So that's a quick update. If you guys want to continue to check out the website, I'm sure there'll be more photos and videos there. So thank you for your kind attention. That is all I have.